All right. Luke 13. Luke 13, everybody there? She's got an Antichrist. She's got that Antichrist machine. All right. Just to set the stage for what we're studying. Verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That's where we studied to. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, or commented with indignation, because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Now the ruler of the synagogue, it's not what we would think. It's Archus Synagogus. And it's the administrative officer. He supervised the worship and selected those that were to read from the 3-year cycle. He wasn't the rabbi. His job was to maintain order. That's fundamentally what he was doing.
In other words, he was more like Pete than you.
I don't know. Shut up, Tom. Let's look at a couple. What? Let's look around at a few of these. Well, first of all, let's go to Exodus 20 to see what this thing, what the law says about the Sabbath. We looked at it one time before, but we're going to do it again.
See what who says about the Sabbath?
The law.
Oh, the law.
Exodus what?
20. Verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor any stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, because no matter what, how much we talk about it, because of our culture, we all believe that the Sabbath day is the day of the week. It's interesting that the Muslims' Sabbath day is Friday, the Jews' Sabbath day is Saturday, and the Christians' Sabbath day is Sunday. But to a believer, a true believer, their Sabbath day is Jesus Christ. I can't emphasize that enough. The Sabbath is no longer a day of the week. It's Jesus himself. And in him, you do no labor. Because he has sanctified it, and it's holy. That's what all the weird scriptures that we have such a hard time understanding in is about. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. Let's go there, Matthew 5. No, it's Matthew 6. I was close. Do we get any points for being close, Tom?
Only counts in hand grenades, horseshoes, and nuclear weapons.
You've added one to the cliche.
That's true. But then you were there, so you would know about this.
When are you going back to Afghanistan? Verse 22, Matthew 6. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? As you all know, the word evil there is planero. And it means toil or labor.
It's almost like the if could be changed to since.
What?
It's almost like the word if could be changed to since, but since thine eye.
Well, we hope if we hope it's not since.
Yes, we do hope.
We hope the resurrection is real in us, so that we live the Sabbath. All right, let's go to Revelation 14. We'll do this for Sydney.
Can you comment on the eye? Is that spiritual eye?
Spiritual eye, it's the eye that the Hindus have the eye in the middle of the forehead because it represents the pineal body or the pineal gland. The word pineal, we have a gland inside us, right in the middle of our brain. And it's shaped like it's a small cone about the size of a pea, and it's shaped like a cone. In animals, it's a seat of instinct. That's how the Canadian geese fly back and find exactly where they nested before and end up. Peniel, this is time. We got to go there. Where are we going? Genesis 22, I think. But maybe not. So this is all because we have an important guest here that we're doing this, you realize. That's not it. It's probably 32. Ha! 32. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with him a man. They wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. What?
In verse 24.
24. Verse 24. I'm sorry. We got to go through this again. The word Jacob, if you look in modern commentaries, it says it means the supplanter. Because when he was yet in the womb, he reached and got the whatever he did, I can't remember. But he supplanted Esau. The elder Esau should have gotten should have been the elder. He got the birthright instead. But in truth, the word Jacob means the way of the serpent.
Same thing, actually, isn't it?
Well, there's no commentary that would say it's the way of the serpent because it's.
Yeah, but we're saying it.
Yeah. Now, for his whole life, Jacob never used his name, and you can go back from where he first talks about Jacob, and he says he's always son of. He's always son of. If your name was the way of the snake, you probably wouldn't use that name either, would you? But here, an angel now is wrestling with him. And let's look at what it says. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, the angel saw that. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Jacob said, let me go. The angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And the angel said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Jacob said that, I'm sorry. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, the way of the snake. And the angel said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has power with God and with men, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So here's the name Peniel, the name of this gland that's in your head, that's supposed to be the face of God within you. That where you get direction, where you get the movement of your life. But instead, Jacob, the evil one, has taken over your mind. He did it to Adam, and we've all had it before. I mean, it's every man, it's not optional. And that's why your mind is always telling you stuff. Your mind is always accusing you. Your mind is always giving you impossible activities. Your mind is never and never will be your friend because it is of the evil one. So if your eye be evil, full of toil, that's all the mind can see, no matter how much money you make, no how much, how many jillions of heroes you become, your mind is always the enemy. Your mind is always accusing him. That's why here in type, Jacob died. He's no more Jacob. He's now Israel, she who sees God. And that's what it means to be born again, born from above. The Spirit of Christ is already within you, the seed of God. And all he's waiting for is for you to come to the end of yourself. And then this pineal body takes over. And all the jillions of nerve paths that your mind has, the neurons, the path of the, just are just ignored, emptied. That's what the mind of Christ is. You give no importance to your mind or emotions. They're meaningless. It is the evil one. Now you live by faith alone. And that's the mystery of Jacob. And it's saying If an eye be single, your whole body is full of light, because the light is the face of God, the peniel. But instead, oh no, we can't do that. We've always got to use our mind. We've always got to figure things out. We've always got to decide what to do. We've always got to be prudent. That's why it says, I thank thee, Father, thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Does that communicate to anyone? So the mind of Christ is the emptying. That's the point. That's what sanctification is. The go from the garbage to finally emptiness. That's what we call, that's what sanctification is. That's why we search the scriptures. That's why we study. That's why we repent. So that the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what, it's the final point of finally understanding that you owe this thing nothing, and when you owe it nothing because you give it no more life, it goes.
But it just might not be instant.
It might not be instant. It was only instant in the three types. I mean, one of the three types. It was instant in Isaac. But with Jacob, it was a struggle. With Abraham, it's, I don't want to do that anymore. Now, all of us have all three of those graces within us. The grace of Abraham, the grace of Isaac, and the grace of Jacob. The grace of Isaac is instant revelation, which costs you everything at that moment. The grace of Abraham is just walking through life and saying, I don't think he comes to the end, he sees its stupidity of something he's doing, he says, I don't want to do that anymore. Took him 110 years. And the grace of Jacob is the fight. Now this fight, it says, he's with him until the breaking of the day. That's the day. It's not when it was night and it's light. The breaking of the day is when you finally, the angel stands within you and says, time shall be no more. No more, and so you pay no more attention to time. But all of it has to do, the emptying is instant in Isaac, it's a struggle in Jacob, and it's, I don't want to do that anymore, in Abraham. But those are the three types for us, for you, to see. Number one, so you don't get discouraged if it is an instant. And number two, don't be surprised if there's a massive struggle. And just expect, I don't want to do that anymore, for everything your hand sets and your mind sets out to do. But the bottom line, that whatever that we call that process, which is antagonism, that's what the scriptures call it, is proving that good and perfect will of God, which is Christ in you. And that your mind is renewed to be in total agreement with the mind of Christ, which is emptied. So the guidance comes only from the pineal body, the pineal gland, instead of all this other crap.
Is the conscience in there?
What?
Conscience.
Conscience is just the crap you learn before you reach the age of reason. It's just, it's stupid. That's the thing you learn to ignore first. That's its main job. It's the job. It's the part of the evil one's job that accuses you. So there's never peace of mind. But it's just a fruit of the curse.
It's good that too is not paid attention to.
Well, it's not even heard anymore. I'm saying Isaac didn't have a consciousness. Conscience and consciousness are really the same thing. Lose awareness of self in any dimension. Except you be converted and become as that little child before awareness of self, or we've said many times, you've all heard me, Shannon was the model of that for us. Without any consciousness of self. That's why she was so blessed. That's why we were privileged to have her in our midst. Now we've got a little kind of a weird Shannon, a wallow, but same purpose. Anybody have any response to any of this? It's kind of important. Kind of important. Anybody understand perfectly? Mr. Bojo, you're doing this again. That means you're musing. You always muse when you do that. Don't play poker.
Okay. I had one thing on Luke where it talks about the woman having a spirit of infirmity, and I didn't ever grok it until this morning, this spirit of infirmity. It was like, and all spirits are subject to Christ, and so the idea that he would heal her would be merely casting out the spirit. It was almost like she didn't have a physical ailment in and of itself, except by that spirit.
All right, anything else about this pineal gland, pineal body? You have one within you. It's the consciousness of being in direct consciousness or direct connection with the Father. But you've got all this other garbage you've learned. It's a jillion nerve paths. And you hate some of them, and some of them you think are really important.
What he said, when you're not necessarily, you're ignoring the evil, but you don't necessarily see it because all you can see is God when you're completely.
Yeah, with the end of sanctification, you don't even, it's not even there.
I recall that as Israel moved into the land, they got it in pieces, little bitty pieces. Does that also have a correlation in sanctification?
Same kind of thing. They had to go through and defeat each of those seven tribes or the seven high places of your mind. That's still what we do. You understand, Mr. Hefe?
Completely.
I have one more question. About our mind being all evil, when we're trying to comprehend God, like we are right now even, and we study God, would that be an act of evil?
Mm-hmm. You only can apprehend and only be because you've been apprehended. And that only comes with repentance. You don't try to learn. If you don't hear, then you repent. But it's never learning anything, because everything you already need to know is already within you. So all a preacher can do is be a spark to you, to that tells you there, that gives an affirmation of something you already know deep within you. I can't teach anybody anything. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.